Hold fast to La ilaha illallah, Muhammadun Rasulullah. And I will meet you in Jannah with Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That is the good news I have come to you with today. Hold fast to your kalima, shahada, and we will meet in Jannah. The faces that I see here today, subhanallah, don't think Jannah was created for someone besides you. Subhanallah. Don't think you are too bad to enter Jannah when Allah says, قُلْ يَا عِبَادِيَ الَّذِينَ أَسْرَفُوا عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ. Say to those people who have transgressed grossly against themselves, who have done grave sins. When Allah says grave sins, what sins is He speaking about? The gravest of sins. لا تقنطوا من رحمة الله. Don't lose hope in the mercy of Allah. Subhanallah. Don't lose hope in the mercy of Allah, Rabbul Izzati wal Jalal. Why? إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَغْفِرُ الذُّنُوبَ جَمِيعًا. Indeed, Allah is going to forgive all your sins. Subhanallah. إِنَّهُ هُوَ الْغَفُورُ الرَّحِيمُ. Definitely, He is most forgiving, most merciful. Subhanallah. We've heard this tons of times. Have we understood what it means? It means if you are doubting the mercy of Allah, you are insulting Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He tells you, I am most forgiving, most merciful. And you say, I have doubts about that in my heart. Allahu Akbar. Wallahi, we cannot utter that. We cannot feel that. We cannot believe that for a split moment. Believe me, no matter what you have done, turn to Allah today and now. Make a resolve. It's not difficult. Make a resolve. For the sake of Allah, you will find peace in your heart. You will find comfort at home. Leave all those haram things. Wallahi, we have a lot of baggage. You know, today I was hearing the brothers speaking about South African Airways. What do they say? They say they're becoming hard with the hand luggage. I heard it. I heard it. They're becoming hard with the hand luggage. Yes, they are. Do you blame them? Because people want to carry too much. That's the thing. Wallahi, remember, you want to go to Jannah. Don't get all extra baggage. What is extra baggage? That woman there, she's not my wife. But what happens? I'm having an affair with her. That's extra baggage. How much does she weigh? 70 kilos. They only allow 20. Subhanallah. Yes. Similarly, those bottles of what have you, they weigh a lot. You can't carry those. You are not going to go with extra excess baggage. We understand the example for SAA. And you know, I want to give you an example of Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu, which applies to South African Airways. He says, حَاسِبُوا أَنفُسَكُمْ قَبْلَ أَن تُحَاسَبُوا. Take account of your deeds before they are taken account for you, and a disgrace is made of you. Don't we all do that for South African Airways? Hey, how much is that bag? It's a bit heavy. Take out 5 kg before you go there. Otherwise, you're going to have to pay for this and for that. So what we do, we take the scales and we weigh it. 20 kilos. All right, that's fine. 25. 26, it'll go. 30, you'll scrape through. Smile at the lady there and it's all right. Yes, that's the system. That's how we operate. For what? For silly things we want to take from one country to the other. We weigh it. We make sure we have weighed it before we go to the airport. We already know whether we have excess baggage or not. How many of us have ever gone to the airport without knowing how much baggage you have? Tell me. Maybe the multi-billionaires who travel around the world with their own aircraft. Maybe that might be the case. So let me tell you, dunya, we can understand that weigh your bags before you go to the airport. Let me tell you, weigh your deeds before you go to your grave. Subhanallah. Each one must know how much baggage you have, and it's not too late to shed the extra baggage. You have problems in your mind, you have pressure, you have tension. The secret, leave haram. It is haram that brings pressure to your mind, tension to your mind. Maybe your mobile phone is causing problems. It might be, it is an issue today. I know, I deal with it. So many people come to me, their marriages are about to be broken. Why? They don't want to give up just the mobile phone. Subhanallah. Take a look at the youngsters on drugs. A few moments ago, I was speaking on the radio and I said, Wallahi, I know of brilliant youngsters who have the best character, the best conduct. They can compete regarding character and conduct in the whole city. but they have one weakness of drugs. And wallahi, take the mobile phone away from them. You will help them solve half the problem. Change their ring of friends. Go to a new locality altogether. You'll help them solve 3/4 of the problem. So it is this environment that spoils us. It is the mobile phone that spoils us. The internet that spoils us if we don't know how to use it. So if you know how to use it, alhamdulillah. If you don't need it, don't have it. Believe me, it is a solution. We have too much excess in this world. And this is where we are creating unnecessary tensions in our head for nothing. You know, this is why the hadith says, remain at home for as long as you can. Subhanallah. لِيَسَعْكَ بَيْتُكَ The hadith says, your home must be broad and spacious for you. Stay there as long as you can. Why? The minute you go out now, some people just have a hobby. I'm feeling bored. What to do? Jump in the car. Let's drive around. Drive around and see what? You're going to see that woman and this woman and that person and that man walking on the streets. Your eyes are like the spears of shaitan. And that description in the hadith is so apt because when you pull your spear, when do you release it? When you see the buck, don't you? When you see the springbok, what happens? Immediately you release and you get it straight. Straight, subhanallah. And until you don't get it, you keep on, hey, running. Hey, I saw a nice buck. I saw a nice one. Hey, that one. Hey, that. What do you want? To eat. To eat what? The meat. So now you carry on. The same example is given about haram and about women. Wallahi, in the hadith. Why must we be shy? Let us face the facts. You see something, your eyes like it, that spear is going to be shot from your eye. You will not be satisfied. You will not sleep at night until you have shot it straight to where you wanted to. Allahu Akbar. Wallahi, it is the truth. It is nothing to hide. We are adults. We know what is being spoken about. And who spoke about it? Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Is that not excess baggage? Is that not something extra which we don't need? So the secret is, use from the dunya. Take from the dunya as much as you want. Have hope in the akhirah. Always turn to Allah. Always reflect on your deeds. Every day, set aside a time of the day. Wallahi, it is my advice to yourselves as well as to myself. Set aside a time of the day. Every day. And ask yourselves, what did I do today? Good or bad? Decrease the bad, increase the good. For the sake of Allah. And if you have the correct intention, wallahi, you will be told, "Udkhuluha bisalamin aminin." Enter Jannah with total peace, in total security. Don't you want to be told that? Imagine when you, on the day of Qiyamah, when we will all be standing, may Allah grant us the intercession of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When we will all be standing and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has to say, please, come forward through the green route, Jannah, subhanallah. How do you feel? How would you feel? It can happen to you. Yes, it can. But you have to give Allah that excuse. It will happen to you. And believe me, it will happen to you. But you have to give Allah that excuse. What excuse? At least you need to say, Astaghfirullah, Ya Allah, forgive my sins. Ya Allah, I'm a criminal. Ya Allah. Ya Allah, I've done so much wrong. Keep me steadfast on the right path. And Ya Allah, take me away from evil. Remember, guidance is in the hands of Allah, but the effort is yours. The effort is mine and yours. I need to make an effort. So don't lose hope in the mercy of Allah. Allah is most forgiving, most merciful. That is why I say the message I have come with you today is, wallahi, we will meet in Jannah. We are sitting in the house of the owner of Jannah. We are sitting in the house of the owner of Jannah. Tell me something. The president of the country, you want to see him. You want to enter his palace. And you go there every day of your life. A group of you. You go by the door. And you say, please let us in, please let us in, please let us in, please let us in. And you are not let in. You go back. You go back again the next day, the third day, the fourth day, the fifth day, 1 year, 2 years, 10 years, 20 years, 30 years, every day. Tell me, is that man not going to say, hey, look, let these guys come in, come on. He will see your dedication. Is that not correct? That's what we are doing in the masjid every day. We come one time, two times, three times, five times a day. And every day, for 1 year, for 10 years, for 20 years, we are saying, Ya Allah, we want Jannah. Ya Allah, we want Jannah. Ya Allah, we want Jannah. Do you think he's not going to give it to you? Subhanallah. Subhanallah. Think of it that way. Do you think he's not going to give you Jannah when every single day you are asking him, Ya Allah, give me Jannah? A human being, you yourself, if there is a beggar that comes to you, please give me a dollar or a rand. Every day he comes to you, give me a rand, give me a rand, give me a rand. You will give him 10 and say, listen, please, have 10, don't worry. Is that not correct? You will. So let us keep on. Keep up the pressure in the masjids. Ya Allah, we want Jannah. Ya Allah, you own it. We don't deserve it, but your mercy will give it to us, Ya Allah. Your mercy will. What do we want? We need the mercy of Allah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us from His mercy. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us Jannah. Wallahi, I tell you, we can go on and on. But khayrul kalami ma qalla wa dalla. The best of speech, that which is to the point and short. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant all of us the ability, myself included, to be steadfast. To realize who we are, where we are going. Come on. How old are we? 50? 60? 30? 40? How many days do you think you are going to live for? I can't guarantee that I'm going to step out there. So let us all say here and now, Astaghfirullah. I seek your forgiveness, Ya Allah. I seek your forgiveness. Say it from the bottom of your hearts. Don't be shy. Astaghfirullah. Ya Allah, forgive us. Ya Allah, we need your forgiveness. If you don't forgive us, Ya Allah, we have no one else who will forgive us. And let me tell you, when you say that once, it's enough to forgive everything you've ever done in your whole life. Subhanallah. Subhanallah. The mercy of Allah. You tell Him, Ya Allah, forgive me all my sins. Wallahi, every single thing you've ever done is deleted, formatted, and thrown not only into the recycle bin, but even taken out from there and gone. Subhanallah. So there we are. We've purified ourselves, inshallah, for the sake of Allah, because we have no hope in anyone and anything besides Allah. I have nothing, no umid, no hope. Who can forgive your sins besides Allah? وَمَن يَغْفِرُ الذُّنُوبَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ. Who can forgive your sins besides Allah? Is there anyone? No one. So I need Him more than I need water and drink. I need Him more than I need air to breathe. Subhanallah. And remember, when you have sought forgiveness from Allah, consolidate it. Try not to do something bad again. Don't calculate bad, evil and mischief. Don't. And if you happen to slip and drop, turn to Allah and seek His forgiveness. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us success. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the ability to appreciate hope in Him. Yes, we need to be worried about His punishment, but the greater part of the scale, we should be more hopeful for His mercy, inshallah. May Allah forgive us all. What I will do, inshallah, I will take a few questions related to the topic, inshallah. The reason why I say this, you know, I come from Zimbabwe. If I am to open the floor for any and every type of questions, what will happen? Unfortunately, we are weak. We tend to forget that we are all heading in the right direction and that we are all aiming for Jannah. I don't know of anyone who doesn't want to go to Jannah. That's our ultimate goal. That's why we are here. But we tend to forget this, my dear brothers and listeners, sometimes. So what happens? We ask a question to do that man down. And we ask a question so that, yeah, I want an answer, so we want to fix those guys there, you see. So they must know what's right and wrong. No, we know what's right and wrong. Everyone knows. Al-halal bayin, al-haram bayin. Everything is loud and clear in front of us. Don't try and fix people. Let's fix ourselves. So for that reason, I normally dislike questions whereby I am used as a gun to shoot down other people. Yes, it happens. And for, I know sometimes there are issues within the community that must be resolved by the ulama of the community. If I'm invited by the ulama, alhamdulillah. But for the general public to use me to make a problem worse is haram. It can't. I will be insulted to say I went to Cape Town and they used me to make a problem from 2 to 4. You know? So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala use us to mend relations rather than to destroy them. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala use us to bring the ummah forward rather than backward. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala use us to make people prepare for the akhirah rather than for the dunya. So, if there is anyone who has a question related to what we've said, inshallah, we'll entertain it. Now. Yes. You want the example of Sahih al-Bukhari. The man was so powerful that there was a time, and I'm giving the example because he's asked, and correct, it's related to the topic. The man was so powerful. At a very young age, he became famous amongst people. He used to travel. He had so many sheikhs. And these sheikhs whom he used to go to listen to hadith, they were so knowledgeable people. They saw a young man coming for hadith. They were amazed. You know, one day, he traveled for so many days before he arrived at a certain place. And he wanted one hadith because he heard, he already had that hadith. But he heard that the chain of narrators was one person less, which means a stronger chain. So he traveled all the way for so many days. He arrived there. He spent the night outside early morning. That sheikh already knew that there is this Muhammad ibn Ismail who's coming to get a hadith. So in the morning, he got up, the sheikh, and he came out of his house. He saw the donkey and he lifted up his clothes, the kurta that he had, and he actually made a noise with his mouth in order to call the donkey. So the donkey came running, thinking that there was food in the kurta. And what happened is, as the donkey came, and Imam Muhammad ibn Ismail was a young man, youngster, youth. He was watching from the side, you know. And this man then released his clothing and jumped onto the donkey. So what did he do to the donkey? He cheated the donkey. The donkey came for food, but he wanted the donkey for something besides food, like what we are doing today. May Allah protect us. That's what we do in our lives. So Muhammad ibn Ismail, rahimahullah, he put his belongings on his back and began to walk away. So this man said, but didn't you come for a hadith? Wallahi, if you can cheat an animal, you will cheat us. I can't take a hadith from you. Subhanallah. I can't take a hadith from you. I've traveled so far, I don't want to know what you have to say. Salaamu alaikum. Gone. One example. The other example of his memory, he was tested by the mashayikh who came to see him that this man is intelligent and he is supposed to be Shaykhul Hadith. Let's see what he's got to say. What do you have to say? A great number of them, 50 of them came. Great sheikhs. They sat round him. They said, right, let's test him. We will, each one of us will tell you a hadith and you must respond to say the sanad. You know what is a sanad? The chain of narrators. And the hadith, the matin. The matin is the wording of the hadith. We will mention the chain and the wording. We want you to tell us whether it is right or wrong. If right, why? If wrong, why? So the first sheikh started. He mentioned a hadith with a long chain. The chain of narrators means the name of the people who have heard the hadith from one another. Until he got to the Prophet ﷺ and he mentioned the hadith. They looked at him. He looked at them. He made a movement with his head. And he said, you know, can the next sheikh speak? So they thought, this man is daft. He doesn't know anything. The next one spoke. He mentioned a long hadith, a different hadith. And the same response. The third one, the fourth one, the fifth one, the sixth one, up to 50. All 50 complete. They were upset with him because they told him, they said to themselves, this man, not one, he doesn't know any of them. And then he asked them, have you completed? They said, yes. He says, right, as for you, looking at the first one, you mentioned this hadith, this was the chain of narrators you mentioned, and the reason why it is wrong is because this person whom you mentioned was born 6 years after the demise of that person, so there is no possibility of the two of them meeting, so that is why that entire chain is wrong. And as for the wording, that wording, this is the discrepancy in it, the second man. You mentioned this hadith, this was the wording, this is the chain of narrators that you mentioned, but it is an incorrect chain of narrators because of this reason. That this man in the chain of narrators known as Muhammad ibn Sa'ib al-Kalbi is a liar because in his life there was once an incident whereby he had to make a sale and he lied to the people what he had to sell. For that reason, we can't take that hadith from him. And so on and so forth until he completed all 50 hadith. After which each one of them had to pledge to him that you are the Shaykhul Hadith. You are Shaykhul Hadith. You are the one who knows. So what I mean is Allah had granted him such a memory that is amazing. I know when I was studying in Madinatul Munawwara, Sheikh Muhammad al-Mukhtar al-Shanqiti, I'm sure those who have studied there will know him. He used to ask us once, about 70 of us in the lecture hall, Udhkur ismak wa baladak. Say your name and your country. And we would say our names and our countries. After that, he would always call you with your name and your country. Ismail, Zimbabwe, kaif halak. Straight. He didn't have to be told a second time, what's your name? No, it was an insult. With us today, 10 times, sorry, your name? Sorry, your surname? Sorry, oh, I forgot. Oh, yes, I've seen you somewhere, isn't it? That's how bad we are. Why? Because our minds are like pots. Each one of our brains has a capacity. Some have 2 kg capacity. I'm giving you in kg so you can understand. 2 kgs, 5 kgs, 10 kgs. We are filling it with everything else. So when the necessary things come, the pot is full. What are you going to put in there now? The pot is choking, man. All everything you know is her number, and that one's email, and this one's that. Khalas, your pot is choking. So now when it has to come to something necessary, you don't know it. But I can't memorize. Take a hammer and knock it. Maybe some will come out of the other ear. Then you'll be able to fill it. Subhanallah. But this is the weakness with us. Our memories are weak because we filled it with unnecessary things. When you fill your mind with the Quran, wallahi, you have increased the capacity of your mind. Alhamdulillah. So memorize the Quran and Allah will open the doors for you. Try. Each one of you have memorized something. All of you seated here are hafiz of something of the Quran. Every single one of you. Allah has chosen you to memorize His word, every one of you. Don't you know Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen? You know it. You've memorized the word of Allah. You are partly hafiz of something in the Quran. So thank Allah. At least we've got something on the day of Qiyamah we can stand with, isn't it? So smile, and I'm seeing us smiling, Alhamdulillah. I have also contributed towards the protection of the Quran. You can say that. I might not be a full hafiz, but I am hafiz. That's why hafiz is already half from the beginning. Hafiz. They don't say full fees. They say hafiz. May Allah save us all. Now, sorry. That is a very, very good question. Ideally, we are meant to be doing things solely for the pleasure of Allah. But some of us through weakness, what do we... The question is, he is saying, some of us through weakness, we do things because we want Jannah and so on. Wallahi, let me tell you, if you are doing something for Jannah, you are doing it for Allah. If you are doing something for something Allah has promised you in the Akhirah, you are doing it for Allah. But the minute you are doing it for something in the dunya, you are heading in the wrong direction. I'm doing it because, you know what, I want to marry that girl. And you see, her father comes to this mosque, so I'm shifting masjids from that one to this one because I need to stand next to him and rub shoulders with him so that at least tomorrow when I say, you know what, propose for your daughter, he says, oh, that guy reads Salah right next to me. Very good youngster. Subhanallah. Your intention was wrong. May Allah save us. And may He get us married to spouses that are the coolness of our eyes. I'm giving you living examples. That's why I see the smiling. Subhanallah. It's a fact. So remember one thing. Anything to do with the Akhirah from what Allah has promised you. If you say, I'm reading Salah because I want to be protected from Jahannam, you are right. That's it. You are correct. It's part of what Allah has told you. You are doing it out of the fear of Allah. It's Allah who is in control of Jannah and Jahannam totally. But the minute you are doing it for something connected to the dunya, now you are in the wrong direction. And if that is happening to you out of weakness, you need to rectify it. You might have started coming to the masjid because of that father-in-law of yours. But if you can now change your intention halfway and say, no, 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 Ya Allah, I'm already married, but I'm still going to go to the masjid. Subhanallah. May Allah save us. Wallahi, we are weak. We do need attention sometimes. Now. Yes.
Based on the topic, Jannah and Jahannam, we find that as a Muslim minority, that at the present moment, the Pope is dead and the shooter will be tomorrow. Will it be wrong of Muslims to send condolences?
Will it be wrong of Muslims to send condolences to the Pope? Very good question. Any non-Muslim that dies, there are certain things we're allowed to do, certain things we're not allowed to do. We know that. Certain things we're allowed to do, certain things we're not allowed to do. So for example, the hadith, the Quran has taught us. Let me read the verse for you.
مَا كَانَ لِلنَّبِيِّ وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا أَن يَسْتَغْفِرُوا لِلْمُشْرِكِينَ وَلَوْ كَانُوا أُولِي قُرْبَى مِن بَعْدِ مَا تَبَيَّنَ لَهُمْ أَنَّهُمْ أَصْحَابُ الْجَحِيمِ وَمَا كَانَ اسْتِغْفَارُ إِبْرَاهِيمَ لِأَبِيهِ إِلَّا عَنْ مَوْعِدَةٍ وَعَدَهَا إِيَّاهِ فَلَمَّا تَبَيَّنَ لَهُ أَنَّهُ عَدُوٌ لِلَّهِ تَبَرَّأَ مِنْهِ
سبحان الله صدق الله العظيم. Allah says it is not befitting for a prophet or for the believers to seek forgiveness for those mushrikeen and kuffar who've died. Especially when you know that these people are have earned the wrath of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So from that verse, and Allah speaks about Ibrahim alayhi salam, that he said, "Ya Allah, forgive my father." But what he meant was something else. He made a dua for hidayah for his father. His father was not guided then. And he did not know that it was prohibited to make dua for forgiveness after the man has died and declared by Allah as an enemy of Allah. So he, Allah says, "Tabarra'a minhu." When he knew from Allah that this is not permissible, he disassociated himself from that same dua of his. And he sought forgiveness for it. That was Ibrahim alayhi salam. So, to send condolences to your neighbor who is a non-Muslim, or to someone else who worked with you, a good person who was a non-Muslim, you are saying, "I am sorry. My condolences. I apologize. My sympathies. I am with you." Is that seeking forgiveness for them? It's not. You're just saying, "I am sorry. My condolences." Listen to the statements. "My condolences to you. I sympathize with you. We are together in the loss. I bereave, or I am part of the bereaved." Whatever you want to say. That's all okay. That's fine. But the minute you say, "May Allah forgive him," now you are asking for trouble. Because they did not want that forgiveness themselves. In this life, they did not seek that particular forgiveness. And if they did, it's Allah who knows best. He will deal with them. We don't know whether they will go to Jannah or Jahannam. Someone might have uttered the Shahada at the point of death, which we don't know about. They might have gone to Jannah. You know, when Diana passed away, or died. In fact, Diana died, you must remember that, because D-I-A-N-A. They say it stands for die in a nasty accident. And that's exactly what happened. So, when she died in a nasty accident, let me tell you, there was talk in the world, this was many years ago, that she was a Muslim. And I remember the Imam of the Haram, Saud al-Shuraim, may Allah grant him a long and healthy life, he spoke in the Haram. He said, "There are people who are worried about whether this woman died a Muslim or not. There are people arguing that she died as a Muslim." I don't know if the arguments came to Cape Town as well. So he says, "We don't know if the man she was with doing what they were doing was a Muslim or not. And we are arguing about her," point number one. Point number two, he mentioned, he says, "Worry about yourselves whether she is a Muslim or not. Cannot change the condition of Islam and the Muslims of the world. It can't. Worry about yourselves. Shaitan is trying to make you pull someone into Islam in such a way that you are dragged out in the process. May Allah save us. It's a fact. The hadith says that a sign of Qiyamah is when those who commit zina openly will be the most respected. Today, who do we respect? Money. Even if the man is the biggest sinner on earth, hey, رَأَيْتُ النَّاسَ مَالُوا إِلَى مَنْ عِنْدَهُ مَالُوا. Subhanallah. رَأَيْتُ النَّاسَ مَالُوا إِلَى مَنْ عِنْدَهُ مَالُوا. The Arabic saying, "I saw people leaning towards those who have wealth." And the two words sound the same. مَالَ يَمِيلُ. مَالُوا means to lean towards. And مَال means wealth. So I saw the people مَالُوا, which means they turn towards. مَنْ عِنْدَهُ مَالُوا, the one who had wealth. It's happening today. So a sign of Qiyamah. People will not be judged by piety. They will be judged by wealth. And even if they are the biggest of sinners, may Allah save us all, wallahi. So for this, as I have just said, when it comes to the Pope himself, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us hidayah. We are worried about our hidayah. May he not make our children popes of the Christians. Tomorrow we might have someone whose forefathers might have been a Muslim and they are serving in the church. And it's happening. It's happening. But we must pray to Allah that, "Ya Allah, guide us, protect us, save our offspring. Make dua, Ya Allah, make my children hafidhul Quran." Once you make that dua, it is you have posted a request. When you post the request, the dua has to be answered. If not your children, your offspring, 2, 3, 4, 5 generations down, someone will be hafidh. You not realizing it was my dua that I posted 50 or years ago or 2 generations ago, and now the child is becoming hafidh. No one knows the barakah of whose dua was accepted. So make dua. May Allah make our children the champions of deen. Ameen. Now, some of the Muslim clerics are going to the funeral of the Pope. The second part of the question is, if their mote comes there, what is the status? What is their status? Let me tell you, this question is twofold. The first is to go to the funeral of the Pope. If you ask me, I will tell you, brother, don't waste your time. حَقُّ الْمُسْلِمِ عَلَى الْمُسْلِمِ سِتٌ. According to a hadith, the right of one Muslim over another, part of these rights are to follow his janazah. We don't want to follow the janazah of a Muslim brother who passed away in your neighborhood, to walk from here to the graveyard, and I want to fly to the Vatican. Is that not a sign of weakness of iman? So if you are to ask me, I will tell you, brother, don't waste your time. But for those ulama who have gone, why they went, they know best. I can't rule. I didn't go to them. Why did you go? What is the reason? Do you have something you are championing, some cause? Are you going to go there for da'wah? Like, for example, the ruling of a person who goes to the church. We are asked, I've seen this man in the church. Now he died. Do I bury him as a Muslim or kafir? Well, he might have gone to the church to invite people to Islam. If that was the case, he dies a mujahid. He dies a martyr in the path of Allah. He might be in the church. So we cannot rule on the people's intentions. But I can tell you, for me and you, let's not waste our time going to the Vatican. Why they are there, they know best. If they have a responsible answer to Allah, Allah will deal with them on that day. But for us, me and you here, I will tell you, by, if you would like, follow 20 janazas here from this masjid, from your locality, and Allah might give you Jannah in return, because you fulfill the rights of your Muslims, brothers and sisters. Rather than going so far, buying a plane ticket when you can't even attend Salatul Janazah here, forget about going to the graveyard. May Allah save us. So that is how I would answer the question. I would say that why they have gone, they know best. If they have a good enough answer for Allah, if they die, Allah will deal with them. But for me and you to say they are kafir or they are not, or they are, or why, I can't judge. I don't know. They haven't given me reasons. I'm going to meet a few of them in 2 weeks' time, inshallah. When I will go to Cairo, I will meet some and we'll talk to them, inshallah, if Allah takes us there. That's if we don't die before that. May Allah grant us a good death. Remember, whenever we die, make dua, ya Allah, once you know that I've arrived at my peak and you know that there is no more goodness in my life, take me away. Ya Allah, it's a difficult dua. It's a difficult dua, but make it. To say, ya Allah, when you know that dying is better for me, take me away. When you know that living is better for me, keep me alive. The hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, oh Allah, keep me alive for as long as you know that life is better for me. Take me away. When you know that it's better for me to go away, Allahu Akbar. Whether I am 30 years, 35 years, 50 years, 40 years, 20 years, whatever my age, that's besides the point. We are all heading in the same direction. You lose your son who's 20 years old. You don't know that was the best decision for that child. Maybe that was the peak of the child when the child became so loved by Allah that Allah took the child away. And we tend to cry and we cry and we cry. Yes, as human beings, it hurts us. But we must understand, I'm also going there. He went. What have I prepared for my meeting with Allah? May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us that. I think with this, inshallah, we come to an end. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept whatever we have said. What I have said, if it is good and correct, it's from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Any errors are from me and from shaitan. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save us and protect us. That was the dua of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We ask Allah, saying, Allahumma inna nas'aluka ilman nafi'a. Oh Allah, we ask you knowledge that is beneficial. Allahumma inna na'udhu bika min ilmin la yanfa. Oh Allah, we seek your protection from knowledge that is of no use. وَمِنْ عَيْنٍ لَا تَدْمَعْ. And we seek your protection from eyes that will not cry for your sake. وَمِنْ قَلْبٍ لَا يَخْشَعْ. And we seek your protection from a heart that will not fear you. وَمِنْ نَفْسٍ لَا تَشْبَعْ. And we seek your protection from a soul that will not be content. وَمِنْ دُعَاءٍ لَا يُسْمَعْ. And we seek your protection from a dua that will not be answered by you. These were the du'as of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We ask Allah to grant us success. Wa sallallahu wa sallam wa baraka ala nabiyyina Muhammad. Subhanallahi wa bihamdihi. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika. Nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk. Allahumma salli ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala ali nabiyyina Muhammad wa barik wa sallim. Ya Allah, forgive our sins, ya Allah. Ya Allah, we are criminals, ya Allah. We admit all the errors we have committed and the sins we have committed, ya Allah. Knowingly and unknowingly, ya Allah, forgive us, ya Allah. Ya Allah, make this day a day of turning, ya Allah, to you, ya Allah. Ya Allah, forgive our sins and make us as pure as the day we were born, ya Allah. Ya Allah, guide the ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, ya Allah. Grant us upliftment, ya Allah. Our brothers and sisters are dying in the whole world, ya Allah. Protect Islam and the Muslims, ya Allah. Everything is happening through your knowledge and your permission, ya Allah. You know why what is happening, ya Allah. Allah, grant us the best, Ya Allah. Save us from the worst, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, grant us rain, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, in this city, Ya Allah, we are suffering drought, Ya Allah. Grant us rain, Ya Allah. Forgive our sins, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, have mercy upon us, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, if you don't have mercy upon us, have mercy on the animals, Ya Allah. And grant us rain, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, grant us rain, Ya Allah, so that we can drink water, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, do not prohibit, because of our sins, do not prohibit your mercy upon us, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, grant us spiritual upliftment, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, grant us happiness in our marriages, Ya Allah. Grant us children who will be the coolness of our eyes, Ya Allah. And Ya Allah, save our children from the vices of the surroundings, Ya Allah. Save our children from the difficulties of the world, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, make us content with whatever you've given us, Ya Allah. Make us from amongst those who don't have extra luggage and baggage, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, when you take us away with shahada, La ilaha illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah on our tongues, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, grant us a death in such a way that we go away smiling, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, grant us service to Islam and the Muslims and to your cause, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, accept us for reading salah, Ya Allah. Accept us towards your masjid, Ya Allah. Accept us towards all the causes of goodness, Ya Allah, and keep us away from bad, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, we are weak. We tend to fall into evil sometimes, knowingly, Ya Allah. But you protect us. You save us. You create a barrier between us and evil, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, guide us, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, keep us strong, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, our children need to be guided by us, Ya Allah. But we ourselves need guidance. So you guide us and help us to guide our children, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, keep our offspring on deen, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, keep our offsprings as champions of this deen, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, unite us with Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam on the day of Qiyamah, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, grant us a sip from his pond, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, give us Jannah without hisab, without kitab, without accounting, Ya Allah. If you are to take account of our deeds, Ya Allah, we are criminals, we will be disgraced, Ya Allah. Don't take account of our deeds, just look at us with the eye of mercy, Ya Allah. Your mercy encompasses everything, Ya Allah. You have more mercy, much more mercy than anything and everything ever to be and ever will be, Ya Allah. And our sins, Ya Allah, in comparison to your mercy, our sins are insignificant, Ya Allah. Though our sins have filled the entire world and the skies, Ya Allah, but in comparison to your mercy, Ya Allah, they are insignificant, Ya Allah. Forgive us, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, we plead for your mercy, Ya Allah. On this day, Ya Allah, we have raised our hands for you, Ya Allah, seeking forgiveness, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, we know that when you respond, Ya Allah, you respond, Ya Allah, positively, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, you cannot return, as you have said yourself, you will not return the hands that are raised for you and calling out to you, you will not return them without an answer, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, answer us, Ya Allah. Answer this call of ours, Ya Allah. Protect the women of the Ummah, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, protect the women of the Ummah, Ya Allah. Allow them to dress appropriately, Ya Allah. Let them be champions of your cause, Ya Allah. Protect the youth of the Ummah, Ya Allah. Save them from drugs and from alcohol, Ya Allah. Save them from all evil and from zina, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, save us all as an ummah. Ya Allah, uplift us, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, make this a turning point for us, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, we ask you all the goodness that Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam has asked you, Ya Allah. Anything he has ever asked you in the form of goodness, Ya Allah, grant it to us. And we seek your protection from all the evil that he has sought protection from, Ya Allah. Anything bad that he has ever sought protection from, protect us from the same, Ya Allah. Antal musta'an, you are the one whom we seek help from. Alaykal balagh, you are the one who responds to our call, Ya Allah. You are the one whom we complain to, whom we make dua to, whom we ask, whom we seek from, Ya Allah. وَلَا حَوْلَ وَلَا قُوَّةَ إِلَّا بِاللَّهِ الْعَلِيِّ الْعَظِيمِ. There is no power, no might besides in you, Ya Allah. You are the most powerful. You are the most powerful, most mighty, Ya Allah. Grant us all the goodness, Ya Allah. رَبَّنَا تَقَبَّلْ مِنَّا إِنَّكَ أَنْتَ السَّمِيعُ الْعَلِيمُ وَتُبْ عَلَيْنَا إِنَّكَ أَنْتَ التَّوَّابُ الرَّحِيمُ سُبْحَانَ رَبِّكَ رَبِّ الْعِزَّةِ عَمَّا يَصِفُونَ وَسَلَامٌ عَلَى الْمُرْسَلِينَ وَالْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ وَصَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَى نَبِيِّنَا مُحَمَّدٍ.